Listen to the following text. You can now hear each part of the text two times. Please read the questions of Part A now. Part A. More and more towns and cities have twin towns and cities in other countries. In 2021, 553 German towns or cities had a British twinning partner. It's a great idea because people from different countries can meet and even make friends. But is it only for adults? Is it also possible for schools to have partner schools in another country? Well, let's see. One Friday in October, at a school in the south of Munich, there's a special visitor, Mr. Black. He has come from Oxford in England to speak to the students about school twinning. He talks to them in English because he can't speak German. Mr. Black shows them a film about one really big school twinning program in London. There were schools from all over the world, with all their different languages and cultures. And the students did sport projects together. Some of them flew to London and had a great time, but others stayed at home and joined online because it cost too much to travel. When the film is over, everyone starts talking about what they like and don't like, about positive and negative sides of school partnerships. After 10 minutes, Mr. Black wants to hear the students' ideas one at a time, and a girl starts. It's Sarah, a Year 7 student. Her English is good. She says,
"We'd like to stay with kids of our age and go to school with them. That would be fun. And after school, we could do homework together and then play games, watch video clips, hang out in town and talk, all in English. At weekends, we think it would be super to go and visit places with their families."
They all clap when Sarah is finished. Before Mr. Black leaves, the teachers say they also really like the idea and want to start school twinning with Mr. Black's school in Oxford at Easter. It's exciting. Part A. More and more towns and cities have twin towns and cities in other countries. In 2021, 553 German towns or cities had a British twinning partner. It's a great idea because people from different countries can meet and even make friends. But is it only for adults? Is it also possible for schools to have partner schools in another country? Well, let's see. One Friday in October, at a school in the south of Munich, there's a special visitor, Mr. Black. He has come from Oxford in England to speak to the students about school twinning. He talks to them in English because he can't speak German. Mr. Black shows them a film about one really big school twinning program in London. There were schools from all over the world, with all their different languages and cultures. And the students did sport projects together. Some of them flew to London and had a great time, but others stayed at home and joined online because it cost too much to travel. When the film is over, everyone starts talking about what they like and don't like, about positive and negative sides of school partnerships. After 10 minutes, Mr. Black wants to hear the students' ideas one at a time, and a girl starts. It's Sarah, a Year 7 student. Her English is good. She says,
"We'd like to stay with kids of our age and go to school with them. That would be fun. And after school, we could do homework together and then play games, watch video clips, hang out in town and talk, all in English. At weekends, we think it would be super to go and visit places with their families."
They all clap when Sarah is finished. Before Mr. Black leaves, the teachers say they also really like the idea and want to start school twinning with Mr. Black's school in Oxford at Easter. It's exciting. You will now hear Part B. Please read the questions of Part B now. Part B. It's now April, the first week after the Easter holidays, and in the English lesson, those students of 7C who have just come back from their partner school in Oxford are talking about their school twinning. One of the boys, Paul, is excited.
"Speaking English all the time was hard work, but our partners at the school in Oxford helped us. We went to school for 1 week, and in the second week, we were on holiday. Our school day was very long. We had classes every day from 9 a.m. to 3:45 p.m. We ate lunch at school, and even had time to go to some of the school clubs, like the yearbook, the chess, and the drama club. All of the English kids wore their uniforms, but we were in our normal clothes, so everyone knew we were the German visitors. The families who we stayed with were very friendly and asked us lots of questions about what we do at home. And we learnt lots about life in England."
Then it's Sarah's turn. She talks about Easter in England.
"In our second week, it was Easter. And it was not like here. On Easter Sunday, we got really big chocolate Easter eggs in boxes. I had way too many chocolate eggs and my stomach hurt and I couldn't eat any dinner. On Easter Monday, I was up early and we painted eggs. Then All the family packed a picnic and we went for a very long walk in the countryside. It was a sunny spring day and it didn't rain. We walked on and crossed fields with lots of lambs. We wanted to get to the top of the hill in front of us. We had our picnic with lots of fantastic food there. But not the eggs we painted. They were for a competition. It was an old Easter tradition. Everyone took one egg. We each had a different colour. We all started at the top of the hill and rolled our egg down to the bottom of the hill. Yeah, my egg was the fastest one, so I won round one. My English friend, Lucy, won round two because her egg went past all the others, but it was her older brother, John, who won most of the rounds in the end. We ran up and down that hill all afternoon. And after the chocolate eggs the day before, it was great sport.
Part B. It's now April, the first week after the Easter holidays, and in the English lesson, those students of 7C who have just come back from their partner school in Oxford are talking about their school twinning. One of the boys, Paul, is excited.
Speaking English all the time was hard work, but our partners at the school in Oxford helped us. We went to school for 1 week, and in the second week, we were on holiday. Our school day was very long. We had classes every day from 9 in the morning to 3:45 in the afternoon. We ate lunch at school, and even had time to go to some of the school clubs, like the yearbook, the chess, and the drama club. All of the English kids wore their uniforms, but we were in our normal clothes, so everyone knew we were the German visitors. The families who we stayed with were very friendly and asked us lots of questions about what we do at home. And we learnt lots about life in England.
Then it's Sarah's turn. She talks about Easter in England.
In our second week, it was Easter. And it was not like here. On Easter Sunday, we got really big chocolate Easter eggs in boxes. I had way too many chocolate eggs and my stomach hurt and I couldn't eat any dinner. On Easter Monday, I was up early and we painted eggs. Then all the family packed a picnic and we went for a very long walk in the countryside. It was a sunny spring day and it didn't rain. We walked on and crossed fields with lots of lambs. We wanted to get to the top of the hill in front of us. We had our picnic with lots of fantastic food there. But not the eggs we painted. They were for a competition. It was an old Easter tradition. Everyone took one egg. We each had a different colour. We all started at the top of the hill and rolled our egg down to the bottom of the hill. Yeah, my egg was the fastest one, so I won round one. My English friend, Lucy, won round two because her egg went past all the others, but it was her older brother, John, who won most of the rounds in the end. We ran up and down that hill all afternoon. And after the chocolate eggs the day before, it was great sport.
This is the end of the listening comprehension.